Tonight, could we turn to 2 Kings chapter 5? 2 Kings chapter 5. And here we have a story that we have learned in Sunday school, a story we've learned in the children's meetings, a story that we've maybe even learned at our mum and dad's knee. It's a story of a man who was called Naaman the leper. We're starting to read at verse 1 down to the verse 15. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes, and said, Am I a god, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now unto me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came on his horses, and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers in Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh came like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take, but he refused. And we know the Lord will bless this reading of his own infallible word. With God's word open, can we bless the reading of his word. Our Father, we thank thee for your word tonight. Now Lord, hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only, for we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. Although Naaman was a great man in a great place, not only a rich man, a mighty man of valor, an honorable man, and a favorite of his prince, the Bible tells us in verse 1, he was a leper. The Bible, leprosy is a universal picture of sin. And Naaman was as great as the world could make him. And yet Bishop Taylor Smith expresses in his book that the lowest slave in his land would not change skins with him because of his leprosy. Verse 2 tells us about a little maid taken captive out of Israel and became maid to Naaman's wife. What a witness for the Lord she was. When she heard of Naaman's problem, she could have harbored natural resent because this man had taken her away. She could have had satisfaction in her heart that he was suffering with this awful disease that could have brought death. We are not told her name. She is one of God's little precious nobodies who is waiting for a great reward in heaven. Very briefly tonight, I want to look at three things in this chapter. I want us, first of all, to look at Naaman's miserable condition. Then, secondly, I want us to look at his mistaken conceptions. He went to the wrong place. He went to the wrong procedure. He was doing everything wrong. But last of all, we want to see his marvelous conversion. But first of all, we want to see his miserable condition. In verse 1, we are told about this man. We're told about his position. He was a captain of the host in Syria. He was a general. He was the man that was in charge of all the army. He was the man that made the plans when they went to war. He was a great general. We're also told that he was a friend to his king. He was a great man with his master, the Bible says. He didn't have to make an appointment to see the king. He could have went in any time to see the king because he was a friend to his master. He was an honourable man, the Bible tells us in verse 1. He was well respected with the people. If he bought something, he paid up. He would pay up his money. He wasn't one of these people that would hold on and hold on. He was well respected. He was well liked because he was an honourable man. The Bible also tells us he was a man of valour. There was nobody braver in Syria. And I can see the wee boy standing with her mommy and daddy. And I can see this man coming with his chariot and they tug their mommy's dress or their daddy's hand. And they say, one day I'm going to be like this man. I'm going to be like this man. He was a man of valour. You say to me, Tommy, you told us that we're going to look at his miserable condition. How is he miserable when you tell us he was a captain of the host? Yes, that's right. He was a captain of the host. You tell us he was a friend of the king. He was great with his master. How is that a miserable condition? You tell us he was an honourable man. He would have paid up any money that he owed. He was honourable with the people. He treated the people well. And you tell us he's a man of valour. Yes, that's right. But friends, read on in verse 1. But every time in the Bible, when you read that word, but, something's coming. Yes, he was great in all these ways. He was a mighty man. He was a man of valor. He was a man, an honorable man. But he was a leper. He was a leper. And if he hadn't got this leprosy cleansed, most likely he would have died. And not only that, he would have had to move out from his family. He would have had to move out from his friends. He would have had to move out to a leper colony, away from about it. But he was a leper. He was in a miserable condition. Naaman's leprosy had no respecter of persons or title. I'm sure he would have, the Bible doesn't tell us where he had this leprosy, but I'm sure he would have covered it up the best he could with the best of clothing. It's the same, my friend, with sin. David sinned with Bathsheba. He had a child with Bathsheba. And what he done is he brought Uriah the Hittite, her husband, back to try and cover up his sin. But because Uriah wouldn't go down to his wife, David sent him with a letter, and he was put in the forefront, and he lost his life. You know, the Bible says, behold, your sin will find you out. And there's one day, the prophet came to David, and he told about the poor man's lamb, and he told the whole story. And David said, that man will surely die. And that old prophet pointed his finger, and he said, David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Behold, your sins will find you out. You know, this little man had a concern for this man. And you know, child of God, there's a wee message for you and me here. Remember what happened to this little maid? She most likely, maybe in those days, the women would go with their pots to the well and pick up the water for the family. And this great general, they all came, and she was taken away down into Syria. She was taken to a place she had never been before. She was taken away from her parents. She was taken away from her friends. She was taken to a place that spoke a different language. But you know, God was with her. And God put her into this man's house. And I want you to know something. This man took notice of what this wee girl said. She went to his wife and told his wife that the prophet could heal him. And then another person went to tell Naaman himself. And I want you to notice something. Naaman said, I'm not going away up there. What does that wee girl know? Sure, she's only a wee girl. She's no idea. This man must have seen this wee girl's life. She was a child of God. And you know, my friend tonight, child of God, do people see the Lord in you? Do people see the Lord in you? This man listened to what this little woman, this little girl said. And we're not told her name. We're not told who she was. We only told that she said that she wanted to see this man come to know the Saviour. Oh, friend, tonight, maybe tuned in, you are in a miserable condition. You say to me, Tommy, I haven't got leprosy. I'm not sick at all. But friend, you have a worse disease in your life, and it's called sin. And my Bible tells me, this man, he could have lost his life with his leprosy. But the Bible tells me the wages of sin is death. If you don't get this dealt with, if you don't get this sin dealt with, you're going to die and be lost forever. This little girl, she could have had an umbrage. She could have said, serves him well. Serves him right. He brought me down here and he's brought me away from my family. Serve him right. But she was also, not only did she want to see him, one, physically healed, she wanted to see him spiritually healed. Maybe, friend, you're in that miserable condition tonight. I remember when I was in that condition. I thought I was all right. I thought I was on my way to heaven. I thought because I went to Sunday school, I went to church and went to Boys Brigade Bible class. I didn't realize until a faithful, godly Sunday school teacher, he turned me to God's word and he showed me, Tommy, I want to see what God thinks. All your righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of a just God. My friend, this man was in a miserable condition. We talked this morning about the great white throne judgment. And you know, all these people at that great white throne judgment, they were in miserable condition right through their life, but they didn't get it cleansed under the blood. He was in a miserable condition. But secondly, I want you to see his mistaken conceptions. He kept going to the wrong things. We read in verse 6, he went to the wrong person. He went to the king of Israel for cure. He was told to go to God's servant Elisha, who could point him to the way to be healed. You know, if you want to be cleansed, you need to go to the right man. And my Bible tells me in John 14 and 16, it's the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You have that thing called sin, and the only one that can help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you had a terrible disease in your life, and you knew you were going to die, and I said, I have a man that has a cure for it, you wouldn't send anybody else. You would go personally. You would go and see this man. The Lord Jesus is telling us tonight that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I want you to notice also, it was the wrong price. The Bible tells us he took 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He thought that money would buy him health and happiness. You know, there are people on their depending on their soul salvation because they give money to the church, because they do good things, and they help everybody. But friend, don't pick me up wrong. It's good to give money to the church. It's good to be a good neighbor. It's good to help people. But if you're depending on that, on your soul salvation, I have to tell you, you're lost. Listen what the Word of God says. Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men by we must be saved. Our old first caretaker and martyrs, Billy Hamilton, and myself were going round the Castlereagh Road, door-to-door work. And as we knocked the door, this lady came to the door, and we told her we were here to present the gospel. She told us that she was the caretaker of the local Church of Ireland church. And we put the gospel to her as best we could. She turned round to Billy and me, and we were shocked what she was depending on her soul salvation. She said to us, you know, do you think God's going to keep us out of heaven, me out of heaven? She says, every Saturday, I bring 12 eggs from my brother's farm and give to the minister. That lady was depending on 12 eggs to take her to heaven. Oh, friend, what a tragedy. What a tragedy it is. The wrong price. People think they can buy their way into heaven. People think they can do that. But again, don't pick me up wrong. It's good to be a good neighbour. It's good to give into the church. It's good to attend church. But if you're doing that for your soul salvation, you're lost. We have seen the wrong person. We have seen the wrong price. But I want you to notice in verse 11, the wrong procedure. Notice here we see Naaman's pride. He thought that Elisha should have came out and prayed over him and not sent a servant. And I can just see him driving up in his chariot. And he's there. And he looks down. And he sees the servant, not Elisha. And he says to himself, does this man not know who I am? I am the great general of Syria. Why has he sent this servant out to see me? He should come out himself and put his hand upon me. Pride. And you know, friends, pride has damned many souls in hell. I think I told this story before, but I'll do no problem. There's a maid called Molly. And she worked in one of the big houses in London. And she started stealing things. And the people there kept an eye on her and they were going to sack her. But she went to Charles Spurgeon's church in London. And after the meeting, Mr. Spurgeon, all he said, if you want to talk to me, come into my office. And Molly came in. And she told the story. And she said, sir, can the Lord help me? Can I be saved? Can I stop doing this? And he said, you certainly can. And he led her to the Lord. Over many months, the lady of the house saw the change in Molly's life. And she said to Molly, I see a change in your life. What happened? And she said, well, Mom, I went to Spurgeon's meeting, and there I met the Lord Jesus. And all old things are gone away, and behold, all things are new. That lady got ready one Sunday and went. Again, Spurgeon says, anybody wants to speak to me, come. The lady walked through the door. She was a well-known lady in London. And Mr. Spurgeon said, lady so-and-so, if I hadn't knew you were in the meeting, I would give you a really welcome. How can I help you? And she told the story about Molly. Spurgeon says, yes, I remember that girl. Sir, can I get what Molly got? Spurgeon said, you certainly can. We all have to come. But Mr. Spurgeon, do I have to come Molly's way? Spurgeon said, we all have to come, we're all sinners. She jumped to her feet and she says, if I have to come Molly's way, I'll not come at all. And out she went. I'm sure that woman went there Christless eternity just because of her pride. The pride, the wrong procedure. She thought that she was above this. She wouldn't recognize she was a sinner. She didn't recognize that she was lost. But I want you to notice it was the wrong place in verse 12. In his rage, he wanted to go away. The servant had told him, you have to go and dip 7 times in Jordan. And in his rage, he said, is the rivers Abana and Pharpar in my own country, are they not better in this old dirty place? One of my friends, I've never been to the Holy Land, but he tells me in parts of the Jordan, it is a really dirty river. And this man was looking at it and he says, do I have to go this way? It was just like this woman, do I have to go Molly's way? But you know, this man was fortunate because he had servants that loved him. And they said to him, sir, don't go away in a rage. If this man had asked you to do something else, would you have done it, not done it? And then he thought and he looked. I'm sure if he had asked one of the servants to go into the river and dip, the servant would have done it. But friend, he was still had leprosy. And you know, tonight, you need to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't depend on your wife. You can't depend on your husband. You can't depend on your children or anybody. You must come personally. If that man hadn't gone in personally, if he hadn't obeyed God's way to be healed, he would still have had the leprosy. And he had, thankfully, he had good people that warned him that he needed to do it. And what happened? He went in to that river. And the Bible tells us, we come to our last point, it was his marvelous conversion. In verse 10, we have the message from God's servant, go wash 7 times in Jordan. And 7 in the scriptures is perfection. When he came up, the Bible said his skin was like a baby's skin. But not only, we'll see in a minute or two, not only did he get healed physically, but he was also healed spiritually. If he had not yielded to God's word, sent out by God's servant, and went home in a rage, he would still have had the leprosy. And most likely, it would have got worse and led to his death. My friend, I'm giving you a warning tonight. I'm giving you a warning, and there's been a warning from this pulpit every Sunday night, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The only thing that can save you is the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary to deal with sin. And you need to realize that you're a sinner. There's a gospel door. And he says, I am the way. And above that gospel door, it says, for sinners only. If you don't realize you're a sinner, if you don't realize that you need Christ as your Savior, if you come to that door as a holy person, if you come to that door with all your pride, you'll not get through it. It's for sinners only. And this man, he realized he was a sinner. You know, salvation is very plain. believe and be saved, repent and be pardoned, wash and be clean. Will you believe and be saved, repent and be pardoned, and wash and be clean? We read in 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You say to me, Tommy, how do you know this man got saved? Well, we read about it in the Bible. He went back to Elisha, and he says, now I know there is only one God in all the earth, and it is the God of heaven. Not only was this man healed physically, but he was healed spiritually. He got his eyes open. You know, there's a little track, and with this I'll close. And it told about Jock Troop. Jock Troop, the great man from the Tent Mission in Glasgow. And he used to have open ears at the cross. And one day at the Govan Cross, and just across the way there was a pub. And this man was staggering up like the wall. And Jack Troop quoted this about the wrath of God. And he went into the pub and he saw the barman. And he said to the barman, who's this man preaching across the way? And he says, that's the famous Jack Troop. He's here all the time. And he said, he shouted at me, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And then he talked about the wrath of God. He says, pour me out a pint of the wrath of God. He put that to his mouth and he fell to the ground. The publican ran over to try and get people in. When Jack Troop came in, the man was gone. And the publican said, this man heard you saying, now is the accepted time. And yet, he went into eternity. Oh friend, tonight is the night for you to get saved. You might say, I'll wait till Mr. Mercer comes. When Mr. Mercer comes, I'll get saved. Friend, you may never see Mr. Mercer again. This could be the last night I'm in this pulpit. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. If God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and he's showing you that you're a sinner, and you're lost on the way to Christ's eternity, please don't turn it away. Again, I've told this story, and with this I will close. There were two ladies on the Balmoral estate, and both of their husbands used to work. They were in little cottages together. And both of their husbands used to work, but both the husbands died, so they were widows. They had an awful fight one night, and one of them walked away into her house, and she said, I'll never speak to that woman again. I don't want anything to do with her again. And she sat, and her temper got up, and her temper really gone. About 8 o'clock, she says, I will go to my bed. She was lying in bed and she heard footsteps coming down the path. Then she heard a knock on the door. I'm not answering the door. She can knock all night. A louder knock. I'm not answering. A louder knock. I'm not answering. Then she heard the footsteps go away. Then she fell asleep. The next morning she woke up and her temper had gone. And she said, I'm going to go in and make up with my friend. They went in and they hugged each other and they kissed each other. And they said, I'm terrible sorry. And she said, I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry I didn't open the door to you last night. She says, I wasn't at your door. Tell you who was at your door. Queen Victoria was at your door. And she knocked and you didn't let her in. And she knocked and you didn't let her in. And she knocked and then she walked away. And that lady in her little gospel tract said that Queen Victoria never ever came to her door. And then she said, if you're reading my tract and you're not saved, and God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and he's knocking on your heart's door, And you'll say, I'm not letting him in. And he knocks again. And you say, I'm not letting him in. And he knocks again. The Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Friend, if he's striving with you tonight, oh, come to him. Come to the Saviour. You know, we're going to meet this man in heaven. And you know, I'm going to say to him, Naaman, I told your story in Oma Church. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we were able to say, Naaman, because of your story, people trusted the Lord as their Saviour. Oh, friend, if you're hearing my voice tonight, you don't need man. You just need the Saviour. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what I done. I just said, Lord Jesus, my Sunday school teacher told me if I put my name in, and I said, Lord Jesus, me, Tommy Gilmore, believes in you, and he saved me. Oh, I pray tonight for those that listen to this message that you'll come and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior.